Okay, we're up to Daf Kuf Zion. Nichnasalot Sipor Tachas Knafav, that if a bird flew under the flap of one's clothing on Shabbos, you're permitted to guard it until after Shabbos. You could sit and secure until dark and then take it. Rav Nachum Yitzchak raised an objection. Meisir Rav Nachum Yitzchak Yoshev Arishon HaPesach, a person sat in the doorway and filled it. And the second person came and sat next to him. The first person is Chayev, and the second person is going to be Potter, even if the first person stood and went. Okay, an important klal here at the end of this perek, Perek HaOreg. So Amar Shmuel, Kol Peturei Shabbos, Potter Avalosar. Any in general, all exemptions in the Halachas of Shabbos, meaning the term Potter used in the context of Shabbos, means that the Torah doesn't obligate one to bring a chatas, and you're not going to get karis for doing it. But nevertheless, it's still aser. Lavar mahani tlas the potter mutter, except for three that are potter and mutter at the same time. One is this case of the deer. Another one is the case where you drain a abscess containing pus on Shabbos, and if you did it to create an opening in it, you're going to be chai. But if you did it to drain fluid from it, you're going to be potter. And then the other case is one who traps a snake on Shabbos. In order to use it is chayev, but if you permit it to trap a snake to prevent it from biting, that's totally mutter. The next chapter, the 14th chapter, Shmona Shrotzim. So this parak over here deals with two subjects that are very slightly related to each other. It begins with a continuation of the discussion of the laws of tzad, trapping. And the av category of shechting includes two tolodos, wounding and killing. And in order to be able to carry on the discussion and specify the animals for which that prohibition to take a life applies, it's necessary to determine what is considered a living creature. So clarification of the av malacha of wounding is even harder. Wounding is used in the Torah, which denotes some type of shedding blood, for example, if the skin is the skin of all living organisms considered skin in this regard, in which one who causes, for example, is the skin of all living organisms considered skin in this regard, in where case one who causes any animal internal wound is going to be chayv. Now, most of this perek deals with the laws of healing on Shabbos. Okay, a lot of this chapter deals with refuah, a realm which is only indirectly related to wounding. It's already been explained in earlier prakim that Chachamim prohibited medical treatment on Shabbos except in life-threatening situations. And it was determined that the reason for this isser is to prevent the preparation of medical substances on Shabbos, medicines and the like. That involves the isser of grinding and crushing, as well as other isurim. Some are usser because they are well-known cures. Others remain mutter because performance of them doesn't necessarily indicate that you're engaging in a healing practice type of refuah. And the explanation of this rule, as well as the different circumstances where it applies, is the very subject of this parak. So let's begin. The Mishnah says, Shmona Shrotzim Hamorim Batar, with regard to any of the eight creeping animals. There's no clear mesora with regard to the identity of the eight creeping animals listed in the Torah, so determining their identity involves some type of figuring out, meaning even commonly accepted identification, such as the tzav and the mouse, the akbar, that's subject to a debate as well. So the creeping animals mentioned in the Torah, one who traps them or wounds them is going to be chayiv. Right, and the Mishnah goes to the sources. With regards to other things which are, you know, abominable and crawling things, one who wounds them is going to be potter. One who traps them for a specific need, though, for a tzorech, is going to be chayev. The Mishnah said that one who wounds any of the eight shrotzim listed in the Torah is chayev. One who wounds other shrotzim is going to be potter. So Rashi, in one explanation, explains that one is chayev for wounding chovel the eight shrotzim because of the malacha of shochet. The eight shrotzim have skins, and when one wounds a sheretz, the blood is moved from its place but remains under the skin. And that constitutes a tolda of shochet. You're not going to be chaya for wounding the other shrotzim because they don't have skins. And when he bruises their body, no blood comes out. And since no blood is removed from its place, because if blood would have been removed from its place, it would have been clearly visible, he's going to be putter. So why is the act of chovel considered a tolda of shochet, or netilas neshama? In what way does inflicting a wound that draws blood resemble killing the creature? So Tosfos in Ksuvos 5b says that since the blood is the life's force, meaning Hadam hu anefesh, a phrase from Devarim, when one causes the blood to come out, he's considered as though he has taken part of the life of the creature. When you bruise a creature that causes blood to form a clot under the skin, he's considered as though he has taken part of the life of the creature because the blood has left its place in the body. the malacha of tzoveya. So the Mishnah says that one who wounds any of the eight shrutzim listed in the Torah is chayiv. One who wounds other shrutzim is going to be potter. So Rashi, in a second explanation, explains that one is chayiv for wounding chovel, the eight shrutzim, because of the malacha of tzoveya. And since the eight shrutzim have skins, wounding them causes the color of their skin to turn red because of the blood. Now the Rishonim disagreed to the Gemara in Chulin 46a that says that if a person hits and thereby removes blood from any sheretz, he's going to be chayiv. And they explained that the Mishnah here refers to one who bruises the creature, but no blood actually comes out. So a number of questions can be asked on this explanation of the Rishonim. First of all, the Gemara earlier in 75b quotes Rav, who said that one who slaughters an animal on Shabbos is chayiv not only for Netilas Neshama, but also for Tzoveya. Rav explains that a person wants the throat area to be red with blood so the animal will appear to be freshly slaughtered and will be sold easily. The Gemara there implies that Tzoveya applies even when the flesh is colored and not just the skin. So why does Rashi say here that one is chayiv only for wounding the eight shrutzim? Because their skin becomes colored as a result of the wound. But one is not chayiv for wounding other types of shrutzim that do not have skin. So even though they have no skin that becomes colored, their flesh becomes colored as a result of the wound. The Gemara earlier, 75b, makes clear that one is chayiv for tzoveya only when he has an interest in coloring the item. Why then should one be chayiv for dyeing the skin of the shrutzim if he has no interest in making the skin red? So the Rishonim asked that if the blood goes out of the animal, then one is chayiv for chovel even when he hits any other type of sheretz other than the shrutzim. Why is he chayiv when he hits a sheretz that has no skin if nothing was dyed? So a possible answer is that the flesh inside the body does not become colored as a result of a wound. Only the flesh at the surface of the body becomes colored when the blood cannot exit due to the presence of skin. According to Rashi, one is chayiv only for wounding the eight shrutzim because their skin becomes colored as a result of the wound. But one is not chayiv for wounding other types of shrutzim that don't have skin. Their flesh does not become colored as a result of the wound. Now, when one wounds a sheretz that causes its skin to be colored as a result of the blood that clots underneath, he does have an interest in coloring the skin of the sheretz. He wants the skin to be red so that when capturing a sheretz, the Mishnah says that one who captures any of the eight shrutzim listed in the Torah is chayiv because those shrutzim may have skin. Now, one who captures other shrutzim is potter. Now, why are you chayiv for tzedel if sheretz have skin? Who cares? So Rashi says there's two reasons why one is exempt when he captures creatures that don't have skin. First, ein b'mino nitzod. Those creatures are not in the category of animals that are normally captured. And second, the act of capturing a sheretz with no skin is considered a malacha she'ein atzricha l'gufa. And since the reason why one normally captures a sheretz is in order to obtain its skin, one who captures a sheretz that has no skin is not doing the malacha for its main reason. And the Mishnah therefore follows the view of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that one is potter for a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Tosfos, another Rishonim, questioned Rashi's explanation. Why does Rashi need to mention the reason that creatures without skin are ein b'mino nitzav? They're not in the category of animals that are normally captured. So the Gemara explicitly says the reason one is potter is also because one doesn't capture such animals for their own sake, ein tzricha l'gufa. And if one is potter because the animal is not the type that is normally captured, then what difference does it make if one captures for its own sake? You should still be potter because ein b'mino nitzav. So the Rishonim explain that one is potter solely because the act is a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. On 107b, you have the idea of killing lice on Shabbos. The Gemara quotes an argument between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbanon with regard to whether one is permitted to kill lice on Shabbos. Rabbi Lazar holds that you can't kill lice on Shabbos, just as you can't kill any other animal on Shabbos, because in Lach of Shechita. The Rabbanon holds that you can kill lice on Shabbos because lice don't reproduce the way other living creatures do. Now, since lice are spontaneously generated from the sweat and dirt upon a flesh, they're not included in the malacha. And the Gemara earlier concludes that one may kill lice on Shabbos, and the act doesn't constitute the malacha of shechita, killing a living creature. That's also the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Even though in the times of the Chachamim, until just 200 years ago, it was accepted by all that creatures are formed from inanimate objects. Today, that concept of spontaneous generation is no longer accepted as scientific truth. Modern science says that all living things come about through regeneration. So is the halacha different now if lice are not spontaneously generated? It's a famous sugya. So Rav Yitzchak Lampranti and the Pachad Yitzchak, not Rav Putner's one, quotes Yehuda Brill, says the halacha remains the same, regardless of what the wise men of the nations of the world teach us. He says that though the study of nature, secular scientists can't understand the inner essence of nature. They can only judge by what is evident on the surface. To the Chachamim, however, all the secrets of creation are revealed, and if Chachamim establish the halacha a certain way, the halacha remains, because the Ruach Hashem is with them. Rav Dessler, in a footnote to Michta Maliyah, written by Rav Yair Kamel, says the law does not change, even though the reason for the law is difficult for us to understand. We have to accept the rulings of the Chachamim, and that's it. Rav Moshe Feinstein says the halacha does not change despite a change in our understanding of the natural world. And he says that even if nature or our understanding of nature has changed, the halacha does not, because the halacha depends solely on the situation at the time of the original ruling of the Chachamim. So Rav Yitzchak Lampranti himself disagrees with Rav Brill. He says it's possible the rule of the Chachamim was based on their wisdom and human investigation and not a Mesorah. Had the Chachamim heard the proofs of modern scientists against spontaneous generation, they would have paskened otherwise. And the proof to that is the Gemara Pesachim 94b. There are times the Chachamim based themselves on their own knowledge and not a Mesorah. And the Gemara there, the Chachamim argued with contemporary scientists, and Rebbe later commented the opinion of the scientists was more plausible. If the words Chachamim were based on a Mesorah, how could Rebbe side with the scientists? So he concludes that one who's concerned for his, you know, neshama, someone's machmer, will conduct himself with chumrah and avoid killing lice and Shabbos, and he'll avoid a doubtful suffix to bring a korban chatas. The halacha is the common practice nowadays to refrain from killing lice on Shabbos. The Orcha Shabbos says that it's preferable to refrain from killing lice in our days, since the lice in our days are known to propagate reproductively, and it's possible they're not lice that are mentioned in the Gemara. That's they hear in the same Rav Yoshev, and they point to the Tshuvas Leiv Chaim permits killing lice, and they write they also heard this from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Okay, it's a famous conversation. Then you have Mafis Mursa opening the blister. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah Eduyos that teaches that one who opens a blister, Mafis Mursa and Shabbos, to get the pus, because the pressure is causing him pain, is Potter. Rav explains that that act is a Malach Shein Tzrich Lagufa, and the Mishnah follows the view of Reb Shimon, and so the one's Potter for it. Shmuel says that you're permitted even Lechachil to open a blister to get its pus out, because the Rabbana permitted one to relieve themselves of pain on Shabbos. Earlier in Shabbos 42a, Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, is the one's Chayev. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a Malach Shein Tzrich Lagufa is forbidden even Midaraisa. So why does Shmuel here say it's Mutter? Satosus quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says that Shmuel does not actually rule that one's permitted to open a blister to get the pus out, but rather Shmuel merely says what Rav Shimon holds with regard to opening a blister to remove the pus.